There are many causes of dizziness, but it is often too short a spell to identify its cause. However, a team from Norfolk has invented a unique headset which both monitors dizziness and diagnoses the cause to get treatment. I talked to Professor Stephen Cox to learn more. Today I'm with Professor Stephen Cox, who is Emeritus Professor in the School of Computing Science at the UEA. Stephen is also a sound recordist for Chatterbox. Stephen is part of a team that's been running a really exciting project with the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital to alleviate dizziness and its causes. Can you tell me who are the people involved in the arrangement?
Yes, there are really three people in the project. One is the person who thought of this idea in the first place, who is a medical person, and that's Dr. John Phillips, who's an ENT surgeon at the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital. The other is myself, who I'm responsible for overseeing, if you like, the development of the device and the engineering aspects of it. And the third person is the person who actually does all the work, and that's the research assistant on the project. And we've just had an excellent research assistant called Jake Newman for 3 years. Sadly, he's just left us, and on our new project we've just received funding for, we're just about to recruit a new one. So that's going to be very exciting to see who we get.
Oh, it really is. Can you tell us about the project and how it got started?
Yes. I mean, looking back, it seems extraordinary, but it's now almost 8 years ago, I think, that John Phillips turned up in the School of Computing Sciences asking to collaborate with someone who knew about what we call signal processing and machine learning, which are two things that I do. And he had this, to me, seemed like a pretty balmy idea of attaching electrodes to a person's eyes and measuring their eye movements, which he said was going to help him monitor dizziness. So at first I didn't really believe him, but gradually as we talked and I saw what was going on, I thought there was probably the germ of a really good idea here. So a long time ago now, we sort of lashed up some crude electronics with electrode pads, and we soon found out that it was perfectly possible to make quite high-quality recordings of a person's eye movement. And really from then on, so that's 7 or 8 years ago now, the project has really been about obtaining proper funding and proper sponsorship to do the thing properly. It's taken a long time to get funding. I think it typically does. It took us, I think, 5 attempts at writing grants to get our first big tranche of funding, which came from the Medical Research Council. That was what really started us off. With that funding, we were able to get in touch with a company, and together in Cambridge. That was called Right Design, and together with Right Design, we put together a design for this device. We designed it together and built it, and then we began testing it on healthy individuals.
Can you tell me about Carver, what it is and how it works?
Yes, so the device is called Carver, which sounds like a funny name, and it's a bit of a mouthful because it's an acronym for Continuous Ambulatory Vestibular Assessment. Not something that trips very easily off the tongue. But if you take that apart, continuous, we know what continuous means. Ambulatory means that we'll be using this as people walk around. It will be monitoring them all the time. Vestibular refers to the balance system which is in the human ear and which this project is all about, and assessment. So it's called Carver. And so the motivation really came from John Phillips, who's been an ENT surgeon for many years. He sees a lot of patients with dizziness, and dizziness is a very difficult condition to diagnose its causes, because it could be caused by many things. And typically, apparently, a patient can see, can visit a consultant 7 or 8 times before they get a correct diagnosis for the causes of their dizziness. And the problem really is that people experience dizziness during their ordinary life, during their waking life, and they go to the doctors or the GPs and they make an appointment. But when they turn up at the clinicians in the ENT department, say, then the dizziness is not there. And so the clinician has to make a diagnosis based on the patient's descriptions of the dizziness and so on. And that's really a very unsatisfactory state of affairs. And there was a very similar situation about 20 years ago with hearts. People complained of heart problems, but when they turned up to their appointment weeks afterwards, the heart problems weren't showing on the ECGs. And to answer that, a device called a Holter monitor was invented. And that's something that you wear 24 hours for several days, and it records the signals from your heart. And then when you go along to the clinic, you take it off, they download these signals onto the computer, and then they look at the signals and they can say, ah, yes, I see at a certain time you had a certain abnormal heart rhythm. So what we're trying to do with the Carver project is the equivalent, if you like, of the Holter monitor, but for dizziness. And we do it by measuring, strangely enough, we do it by measuring eye movement signals, which give the key to problems in the inner ear, essentially.
And how long do patients have to wear their headrests?
So I don't know if you've if anyone's seen pictures of the device in the EDP or on the website, but it is a slightly strange looking device. Someone once said that it made people look like Cybermen or cyberborgs. So it is quite hard to walk around wearing this thing. But we've tested it on our first trial was on 18 healthy individuals who undertook to wear it for 2 weeks. And that's probably the maximum time that we would ask anyone to wear it for. You can take it off just to shower. I'm afraid you wear it at night as well, because these attacks do happen at night. But anything from a few days to a week or so. The important thing is to try and get some evidence of the condition that you have during that time, and that might take a few days, or it might take a little longer than that.
And what sort of conditions would cause dizziness?
Well, that's the interesting thing about dizziness. It can be caused by many different conditions, and one of the things that our device will tell a clinician is it due to some disturbance in the inner ear, with something like Meniere's disease, or something which causes vertigo, or is it perhaps due to low blood pressure or heart problem or something like that? And actually, that's always been very, very difficult to diagnose, because feeling dizzy is just feeling dizzy. You don't know why you feel dizzy. What this device will do will be to pinpoint whether that dizziness is due to some balance in a rear condition, or whether it's due to something like low blood pressure or some other condition. And then in the next stage of the project, we're hoping to take that even further. So if it is due to some kind of inner ear problem, balance problem, can we actually diagnose what that condition is? That's the next stage of the project.
So would that mean that on the Carver, that it would have links to specific potential causes?
Yes, that's right. So what we do is we observe these symptoms in patients who we know have got certain pathological conditions. And then if we attach the Carver device, if someone wears the Carver device and then we see the same kind of signals are being observed, then we conclude with a certain probability that it's yes, you have this condition. So it should be a very useful diagnostic device for clinicians, which they've never had before.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you've been seeking for further funding.
Yes, that's right. So we had 3-year funding from the Medical Research Council, and that's finished. That was a little bit interrupted by COVID and by lockdowns, because we couldn't see any patients during that time, which was a bit of a problem. But now we've got another tranche of funding. That's £1.25 million from the National Institute for Health Research. And it's rather different from the initial funding. The initial funding from the Medical Research Council was really all about doing the research. Did this device work, and could we actually detect these very short periods of eye movement, which predicted a certain inner ear symptom? Could we find those signals in long periods of, you know, random eye movements, mm-hmm. when someone is just looking around and blinking or is even asleep? And so we found we could. So we've done the basic research now. And in the next stage, it's really about two things. The first thing is to do a little bit more research, trying to use the device to actually diagnose conditions. There are three different conditions which we're going to try and diagnose with by looking at the signals from the device. And the other side of the project is to try to bring the device to market, if you like. At the end of the project, we will have something that we will be able to give to GPs in primary care. That's the aim anyway. And that's quite an ambitious goal, but very exciting for us.
And do you think that you will be able to develop a large-scale project?
Yes, we're hoping so. So this next project is being done in collaboration with 10 hospitals around the UK, and each hospital is going to recruit about 30 patients. So we're going to have a very large pool of patients, and so we're going to pool our results, and we should have some very significant results. And then we've got to, at the same time, we've got to move from what is really what you might call a research prototype to an actual product. And that's quite a difficult thing to do, because you've got to make sure that both the hardware, that's the actual electronics, and the software, that's the computer code, are written to, are done to a very high standard, because this is a device which is going to be used on real people. Mm. So that's a very challenging thing.
And is Carver, is that patented? Or?
Yes, we've got patent applications in for Europe, USA, and I think now the rest of the world. So we're still waiting to hear if they'll be granted. But yes, it is. Patent applied for, as they say.
And where does the funding go?
The funding that we've had, and yeah, so it seems like quite a lot of money, but research is a very expensive business. A lot of the funding is to pay the salaries of the research assistant, and also some. Oh, I don't work full time on the project, and neither does John, but we get some funding. There's also a lot to pay for the medical trials, equipment, and so on. So it soon adds up. Yes.
Is Norfolk Norwich carrying on with this further potential large scale project?
Yes. Yeah, so we will be leading the project. So we'll be doing most of the trials, and the other hospitals will be reporting their results to us, but we'll be collating everything and putting everything together. So yes, the Norfolk and Norwich will be at the heart of this project.
When do you think it will something at large scale project?
So we're hoping to have, we're just recruiting a new research assistant now. We're hoping to start in April or May, sometime like that. And it'll take about 6 months to get everyone sort of started. But yeah, I should think by the end of the year, there will be people all over the country wearing these rather strange looking devices and having their eye movements measured. So that will be very exciting.
What is your vision of how the device will be used in the future?
Well, we've got great hopes that this will almost revolutionise the diagnosis of dizziness in the medical profession. As I've already said, it's a notoriously difficult condition to diagnose. And our vision is really that in the future, if you report to your GP that you're feeling dizzy, then assuming that that you're happy to do this and they think it's fine, you might wear the Carver device for a few days or a week or so and then report back. And they would be able to say with, you know, a certain amount of confidence what the cause of your dizziness was and therefore treat it. And that's going to save the National Health Service a huge amount of money because, as I've already said, it typically takes people many visits, many expensive visits to consultants to get diagnosed. So we're hoping our vision is that Carver will really revolutionise the treatment of dizziness.
My very words, that it is a revolution, and it presumably would develop more causes of items.
Yes, I mean we've no idea how far we can take this. It really depends how much information there is about a condition in the eye signals, but we're fairly confident that the techniques that we're using should be able to detect a very large number of conditions. It's just a question of how much is in there, really.
Yeah, and so you, as things go now, you've got plenty of work to.
We've got plenty of work to do. Yes.
In layman's terms, how does it work, this artificial intelligence?
Yeah, so I don't like the term artificial intelligence very much. It's not really so intelligent. We tend to use a different phrase, which you may have heard, which is called machine learning. And it's really just about making computers learn to recognize certain patterns. So over the past 20 or 30 years, there's been a huge advances in this field in computing. And that's why things like speech recognition and facial recognition and all the other sort of science fiction things that computers can now do have been made possible. Those are the kind of techniques we're applying. And essentially, they apply quite complex mathematical techniques to data that we show them. So we will show the computer an example, say, of the eye movements corresponding to disease A, and then some more examples of the eye movements corresponding to disease B. And the computer will learn then, when it sees a new pattern coming in, it will say, aha, yes, this pattern looks like a pattern associated with disease A, or this pattern looks like a pattern associated with disease B. So it really isn't any more than that. But of course, the detail of how you do this is fairly complex.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that will accelerate.
I've no doubt that as time goes on, machine learning will get more and more sophisticated, and these techniques will become more and more powerful, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
I was talking to Professor Stephen Cox.